This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication, the show on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network focused on your communication and leadership skills. I'm your host, Craig O'Neill, and in our episode today, I'm going to take you on a little bit of a journey here as I recently uncovered an item that reminded me of a series for these episodes that I started months ago, kind of left that idea, focused on a few different scenarios, and I had three things written up out of a 10-episode series, and a funny little circumstance brought it right back into my lap today. I'll tell you a brief story on it. I actually had a backpack of my mobile office with me today so I could go get a recall taken care of on our Subaru Solterra. We had to go to the dealership for that, of course, and there was a normal experience, I would say, for a dealership. A lot of things that I could elaborate on that. But the point is, I had my backpack with me, I had my Bible with me, I had my laptop and everything that I need to be able to do how my morning would go normally and do that somewhere else. The problem is, in that backpack, the water bottle I had placed in there eventually leaked. Now, fortunately, not till I got home from running around, and that's when I had to pull the jacket off my Bible, and out came a bookmark that had inspired me on a 10-episode series. I'm holding that up right now for those of you who are watching. It's 10 Tips for Public Speaking. It's a Toastmasters bookmark and has these 10 tips on it that are actually really useful and practical. Just one problem. I somewhat disagree with the first one being the best tip. It says, know your material. I think it's a funny tip because a lot of the times if we're actually speaking, we're probably going to know our material. And there's lots of reasons that this will be important, I feel. But yeah, you know, a little water bottle leaking, causing the Bible needed to be aired out, this bookmark falling in my lap happened to coincide with some other thoughts that I was engaging. And it brought me to this old series that I had about 3 or 4 years ago from an author, Rob Bell, who used to be a pastor here in Grand Rapids. And he did this Something to Say series, which I had paid for this consult. I was one of three people that were having a consult with him on sparking some creativity and getting ideas and actually unblocking things that you want to say. It was a really cool series. And I've had it bookmarked in this browser window of my recording studio and everything that I use here for ages now. And I just went back into it today and listened to the first part of that series. And there's this really great session. It's one of the first things, I won't go into details on it with his material, but there was a key takeaway. And I'm going to give you that takeaway here that I had in just a moment. This topic is going to go into a lot of things about what we are doing and why we're doing it. So I picked a word of the day for this episode as well. And the word of the day is conviction. And we will define this word for you after we hear a brief word from our sponsors who make this show possible. Your partner in technology, Autoflow is able to enhance your client interactions before, during, and after the visit from a single thread. To see how Autoflow makes it simple, visit autoflow.com. Your trusted companion, Shop Dog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call Shop Dog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com. Unlock your communication insights with Inbound's AI-powered call analytics for auto repair shops. Learn more at callinbound.com. Okay, we're back, and the word of the day is conviction. Conviction is our word of the day, and this is a firmly held belief or opinion, the quality of being certain about what you believe or do. This really fits, I feel like, for this episode, because it's a different thing between an intellectual agreement and an embodied conviction. Conviction is what transforms us, it transforms tasks into purpose. So I was talking a moment ago about Rob Bell's Something to Say series. It's paid for content, but there's a takeaway that I pulled out of one of the sessions where Rob says, you are the medium. You are the medium. And this is interesting because if you're doing a creative task and you think of mediums, my wife is an artist. She's a painter. I have always her paintings behind me. And when you think of medium and artwork, and somebody will ask this to my wife, and it's like, what type of paint do you use? Maybe what is your technique or strategy or some other elements that go along with those things? and my wife may correct me on some other elements of mediums and art, and don't go thinking it's a medium as in a future seeing person either, but you are the medium. This is a really important insight because I feel like for years in the industry, like what I believed about what I was doing at an intellectual level is very different than what I was actually feeling very convicted of. And a lot of times for us leads to burnout. And what I wanted to title is I was torn between two titles of You Are the Medium for a title in this episode, or Are You Just Doing It for the Paycheck? Because I do meet some people and had in fact in the dealership today, I fear maybe met that we're just doing some things for the paycheck. The key is, and the reason I think this is important and why Rob Bell was mentioning this in his thing is that if you are feeling or acting in a certain way, it's going to come out in your communication. And all of us, I believe at even a subconscious level, have seen communicators who maybe just didn't quite believe what they were talking about, and it showed. And I think that's something that happens for all sorts of reasons for all of us in the industry sometimes. When burnout especially is occurring, overcoming some of those frustrations that we have, if we're working a J-O-B job versus having a career with conviction, it's real hard to function as the professionals that we truly need. And your state is going to show up in your work, right? I had spent several years burnt out as a service advisor, and it became frustrating. Like customers coming in, it was like another stressful thing is what I expected. And you'll wear this stuff, even for our service specialist among us too. Vehicle after vehicle after vehicle, the repeat same things, or sometimes a problem child case for those diagnosticians who just constantly keep getting thrown the problem cases all the time and no one else is figuring out, you begin to develop resentment. And that's exactly what I realized that I was developing back, it might have been five years ago when I was doing this Something to Say. I had this consult with Rob Bell, and I became certain that I did have resentment because in the session where I was describing some of the things that I felt blocked by with creativity and what I was working on and what I do, Rob actually said in the session to me, it sounds like you have some resentment for the industry. And so, yeah, I actually had to come face to face with that. And what was that? What triggered that? And there were so many elements to it. It'd be difficult to put into one episode, but it was a journey to come out of that with some convictions that really changed me. And for me, earlier in my career, even before all this, there's some important origins that took me from that mindset of just doing what I was doing in the shop days for just a paycheck and really bring about that deeper conviction that our loyal listeners will have heard me talk about for quite a while. And I want to emphasize this. If we're talking about just doing something for a paycheck, you can't actually remove from this equation that all of us do our careers and our jobs for a paycheck. Of course we do. And I think starting out early on, the beginning of life, you need income, your basic needs, the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the shelter, the food, the clothing, all the things. You need security, you need stability, and you're going to have to take a job and make money. I always sort of chuckled at some of the kids in school. The high school counselor seems like, what are you going to do for a living someday? It's like, what do you love to do? And it's sort of like this thing, like, if you do what you love, it'll never be a job and that sort of stuff. And it sort of washes over me. And I just regard so much of that stuff with such skepticism. I think a lot of times for the reality of most of us in this world, you start doing a job and maybe it becomes a career. Maybe you become convicted of it and the motivation becomes something less extrinsic and more intrinsic if we're lucky and have good mentors and good guidance and core set of ethics. That should be the story. And my story, kind of like I grew up in this industry. reminds me of the Batman film, I think it was with Batman Returns, or one of those where Bane is giving this thing. It's like, oh, you only adopted the darkness. I was born into it. This funny quote, this really powerful scene, actually. And I think I've used that phrase before when I was teaching in class, like some of you have adopted this industry, but I was born in it. Right. So bottom line is this, though, I wasn't convinced when I was younger in the industry that I wanted to do this. I was going to college. I went to Cornerstone University first. And if you've known me and we've talked about this, you'd know what was my first degree that I wanted to go for. I wanted to be a mission pilot. And a lot of you know my aviation fascination. But to be a mission pilot was one of my goals. There's just one problem with being a missionary is they make no money. And I had this beautiful woman that I was madly in love with, and I wanted to get married and I wanted to start a family. Hard to do as a missionary. And I had a much easier road in front of me. And that was the family business transmission shop, easy road. Ha ha ha. So I became a missionary in the automotive repair industry. It's time for today's Suck Less Spotlight from Autoflow. Today's spotlight is on advisor eye twitches. Listen, clients like to stay informed throughout the repair process, and studies indicate clients are most satisfied receiving text updates versus phone calls. But call you they will, interrupting everything from estimating to quality conversations and your game of solitaire. That is, unless you text them first using Autoflow. With Autoflow's automated text updates, your phone only rings for the right reasons. That way, with less phone interruptions, your eye twitch will definitely suck less. For this and more things that could suck less, visit autoflow.com. Ready to boost your auto repair shop's success? ShopDog Marketing is here to help you. We put customers first using AI to create standout content that ranks. Harness the power of mobile first and voice search, and let our expert team help you sweeten your revenue with more car count. ShopDog Marketing offers a free guide on using AI to drive more repair orders. Get your guide today and watch your auto repair shop thrive. Visit ShopDogMarketing.com. Inbound has exclusively served independent auto repair shops with expert communication solutions for years. Now, our robust VoIP platform ensures you stay connected while our industry-leading AI analytics take your business to the next level. We provide the tools you need to understand your customers and optimize every interaction. Choose Inbound. For proven expertise and unmatched innovation, visit callinbound.com and discover the difference we can make. The bottom line is this. I started life in the family business. It allowed me to buy a home back when homes were affordable. And 20 years later, it's really affordable. So yeah, it all mattered. The paycheck mattered. It had to matter. The thing that you never realize when you're young and starting out is life keeps happening. And the job doesn't automatically become a career. Sometimes you just find yourself going in every day to a job that maybe you regret. And I felt that for quite a while. Years go by, the routine sets in, the tedious, sometimes aggravating work. Eventually, I grew to resent not just the shop and the frustrations that we had running it and all the other things, but the industry itself. And the burnout was very real. Waking up, truly dreading the workday, becoming late to work and all those things. You always heard, if you got a guy that's tardy, I mean, that's a red flag. They either lack a sense of purpose or burnout. Doesn't mean they're lazy or incapable or any other thing. Their motivation may be struggling severely. I know this, and I also know you can get out of this. For me, in those days, there was just nothing left but one thing to pray in my prayers in the morning or night, and I had nothing left. It's just literally one word, prayers, help. It took a long time to realize the help for me, but the critical thing is I was on a path and people were put in that path. Bob Greenwood, I've mentioned him so many times. I feel it was very important to bring him up. This is what I consider episode one of a 10-part series here. I can't do that without invoking Bob Greenwood in this episode. And I know I probably do this in every episode. But truly, the man was an answered prayer. Losing him in 2021 was very unfortunate. But Bob was my coach, and among many people who showed up when I needed them. I remember very clearly the first time I took that management classroom instead of a technical training. He asked the class, "What's your job?" My smart aleck answer was, "I fix cars." It's an easy thing to tell the kids. We all understand that. But Bob, I've seen him do this so many times in his class. It was absolutely, you get trapped into it, and he's waiting for the guy in the class to say exactly that. And he pounces on it, gets up there, gets a little in your face even, in good spirit enough to not be too convicting, but convicting. When I said, "What's your job?" His immediate answer, "No, your job, your professional responsibility is to make sure the client's vehicle is safe, reliable, and efficient. That's your job. And how can you do that without inspecting every vehicle that comes in the shop?" All those things that Bob goes into on that. And that was a moment of conviction for me. It landed. It resonated. It was so good. Such an expert communicator he was, but speaking to the matters of the heart. And that shift that I felt from that day forward, thanks to that class and his sharp, incisive language, it put me on a whole different trajectory. And that's when I started communicating this responsibility to the clients, because most importantly, I didn't just believe this or intellectually think this, as many of us are super aware of in this business, that that is fundamentally our responsibility. Like, yeah, of course, I know that. It would be your logical thought to that. But are you living it that way in the shop today? Is your service advisor staff capable of communicating with conviction those words to the clients? You can't lose people when you speak from that position of conviction. You communicate more effectively when you know and believe the thing that you are speaking about. So tip number one isn't just know your material. I think intellectually we've known this all along. Tip number one would be know you are the medium. That was the revelation that I had today through a spilled water bottle. It's just how these things shake out sometimes. For me, the important thing here too is that this was a game changer. Like once I started living with that conviction, problem clients and intransigent techs or service specialists, right, stopped threatening my paycheck. They were just now people that I was meeting along a journey, and they were unaware of the mission, the real mission. And that instilled a sense of purpose in me, very different than even just doing that mission in the day-to-day of my shop, which I did for years with Bob's instruction. Problems, though, with those other individuals who weren't on that mission, they weren't threats anymore. There were gaps in understanding. And when you can identify those gaps and you communicate with conviction, now that's where you can really be an influence in changing the direction for others and making a better team dynamic and culture. And this is where I wanted to bring it together for all of you in our audience, our loyal listeners. If you were to ask, now, how do you know if you're just here for your paycheck? Because you have to be there partly, but just there for that, going through motions. Ask yourself Bob's question. What's your job? If you answer with some form of a task, you're in paycheck mode. I write estimates and schedule appointments. I diagnose and repair vehicles. I turn wrenches. I change tires. I manage the shop. Those are tasks. And I think if you just look into the meaning behind those tasks a little bit more, that's where you're going to find a lot more clarification into the purpose that gives you the inspiration you need to speak with conviction to those tasks and really make them missional. Yeah, if you found your professional responsibility, you found purpose. That's where I feel like a service advisor would say, hey, I ensure clients understand their vehicle's condition so they can make informed decisions about safety and reliability. Excellent statement. There's all sorts of permutations for this. Our service specialist, I'm responsible for ensuring this vehicle's safe, reliable, and efficient before it leaves this facility. Yeah, missional purpose. You should feel very good about that. It isn't about that sales promotion or some production target or just your build hours for the day. And this is like, you could ask me my opinion on flat rate someday and we'll have a rousing conversation. But I feel like that really keeps people in paycheck mode is my deep fear for that. Doesn't mean that for all of you. I know that. I've seen it work in many shops, but I think it's a big issue for a lot of people that never make that transition from JOB job to career. Shop owners, I create an environment where professionals can fill their responsibility to our clients. Right? I mean, little statements like this might be worth sitting with. Think on it deeply for you and your role. Or maybe if it's your shop, think about what the answer should sound like for you to feel great about the team members who are put in positions of influence with your clients. I think those are really, really good takeaways for you on this topic, because you're going to have to be able to articulate your professional responsibility beyond the tasks you perform. It's a great piece of communication to master. And I think everyone, every single person in the world, if they could just communicate on one thing effectively, it should be this: your purpose in your day-to-day activities. So on this little bookmark here, 10 tips for public speaking, Toastmaster says tip number one is know your material. Boy, we're really good with information in this industry. I think we know a lot about cars, my friends. I don't think that in most cases, there's not too much of a gap of knowledge that's literally like preventing us from communicating. If anything, we have so much data and material and information, we're over communicating on some things that are just too hard for the client to absorb. Your success is going to be much, much greater when you can reframe tip number one to know thyself. So, hey, are you here for paycheck or purpose? Everyone can tell. Your clients, your team, yourself, you, my friends, are the medium in your communication. Your state will come through in everything that you do. So next week, we'll talk about tip number two from the bookmark. It's practice, practice, practice. That's going to be a fun one. And I think it's going to have some good things for us to consider. I really appreciate everyone listening to this show. I do want to remind you to reach out to us here on the show at speakup@craigoneill.net. That's O-N-E-I-L-L and O'Neill. speakup@craigoneill.net. I'd love to hear some questions from you on these tips that we're going to go through. If they're helpful, if there's any questions you have, if there's topics you want to speak up about with me here on the show or hear about on the show, that is a channel for you to reach out to us. And we do appreciate hearing from you on anything that helps. And I also want to encourage you to reach out to the other shows here on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. There's Remarkable Results Radio with Carm Capriato, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z with Matt Fonslow, Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest, the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker, and the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. And once again, thank you so much to our sponsors at Autoflow, ShopDog Marketing, Inbound. Thank you for making this show possible. Your support means the world to us. Thank you, all of our listeners, for listening. Now get out there, please listen up, speak up, and know thyself. You're the medium.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Craig on your favorite podcast listening app and on his YouTube channel. Let him know what you'd like him to speak up about. Craig is all for advancing the automotive service aftermarket.